like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Well, now let's join together in this hymn 418 from the Christian Science Hymnal. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's readings is spiritual post-existence. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible, as well as correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Begin with Genesis. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. Psalms. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time, is come. Now from Ezekiel, Hebrews, and 2 Corinthians. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. From the Gospels, Saints John, Luke, and Matthew. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Finally, from Revelation, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, that there should be time no longer. Now, I'm going to read correlative passages from Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy. Time. Mortal measurements. Limits in which are summed up all human acts, thoughts, beliefs, opinions, knowledge. Matter, error, that which begins before and continues after what is termed death, until the mortal disappears and spiritual perfection appears. Man in science is neither young nor old. He is neither birth nor death. He is not a beast, a vegetable, nor a migratory mind. He does not pass from matter to mind, from the mortal to the immortal, from evil to good, or from good to evil. Man undergoing birth, maturity, and decay is like the beasts and vegetables, subject to laws of decay. If man were dust in his earliest stage of existence, we might admit the hypothesis that he returns eventually to his primitive condition. But man was never more nor less than man. Does God send sickness, giving the mother her child for the brief space of a few years and then taking it away by death? Is God creating anew what he has already created? The scriptures are definite on this point, declaring that his work was finished. Nothing is new to God, and it was good. Can there be any birth or death for man, the spiritual image and likeness of God? Instead of God sending sickness and death, he destroys them and brings to light immortality. Omnipotent and infinite mind made all and includes all. God does not cause man to sin, to be sick, or to die. The false belief that spirit is now submerged in matter at some future time to be emancipated from it, this belief alone is mortal. Spirit, God, never germinates, but is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus restored Lazarus by the understanding that Lazarus had never died, not by an admission that his body had died and then lived again. And Jesus believed that Lazarus had lived or died in his body. The Master would have stood on the same plane of belief as those who buried the body, and he could not have resuscitated it. If Jesus awakened Lazarus from the dream, illusion of death, this proved that the Christ could improve on a false sense. Who dares to doubt this consummate test of the power and willingness of divine mind to hold man forever intact in his perfect state and to govern man's entire action? Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, body, and in 3 days I, mind, will raise it up." And he did this for tired humanity's reassurance. It is the prerogative of the ever-present divine mind and of thought which is in rapport with this mind to know the past, the present, and the future. You confess to ignorance of the future and incapacity to preserve your own existence, and this belief helps rather than hinders disease. The material sense, the severance of the jugular vein, takes away life. But the spiritual sense, and in science, life goes on unchanged, and being is eternal. When being is understood, life will be recognized as neither material nor finite, but as infinite, as God, universal good. And the belief that life or mind was ever in a finite form, or good and evil, will be destroyed. Then it will be understood that spirit never entered matter and was therefore never raised from matter. We have no right to say that life depends on matter now, but will not depend on it after death. We cannot spend our days here in ignorance of the science of life and expect to find beyond the grave a reward for this ignorance. Death will not make us harmonious and immortal as a recompense for ignorance. If here we give no heed to Christian science, which is spiritual and eternal, we shall not be ready for spiritual life hereafter. Time, mortal measurements. This is life eternal, says Jesus, is not shall be. And then he defines everlasting life as a present knowledge of his Father and of himself, the knowledge of love, truth, and life. Man's privilege at this supreme moment is to prove the words of our Master, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." The great spiritual fact must be brought out that man is, not shall be, perfect and immortal. We must hold forever the consciousness of existence. And, sooner or later, through Christ and Christian Science, we must master sin and death. The evidence of man's immortality will become more apparent as material beliefs are given up and the immortal facts of being are admitted. The author has healed hopeless organic disease and raised the dying to life and health through the understanding of God as the only life. It is a sin to believe that aught can overpower omnipotent and eternal life, and this life must be brought to light by the understanding that there is no death, as well as by other graces of spirit. We must begin, however, with the more simple demonstrations of control. And the sooner we begin, the better. Do you say the time has not yet come in which to recognize soul as substantial and able to control the body? Remember Jesus, who nearly 19 centuries ago demonstrated the power of spirit and said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." And who also said, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Time, mortal measurement. "Now," cried the apostle, "is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Meaning, not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. The Revelator had not yet passed the transitional stage in human experience called death, but he already saw a new heaven and a new earth. Were this new heaven and new earth terrestrial or celestial, material or spiritual? They could not be the former, for the human sense of space is unable to grasp such a view. The Revelator was on our plane of existence, while yet beholding what the eye cannot see, that which is invisible to the uninspired thought. This testimony of Holy Writ sustains the fact in science that the heavens and earth, to one human consciousness, that consciousness which God bestows, are spiritual, while to another, the unillumined human mind, the vision is material. This shows unmistakably that what the human mind terms matter and spirit indicates state and stages of consciousness. This is scriptural authority for concluding that such a recognition of being is and has been possible to man in this present state of existence, that we can become conscious here and now of a cessation of death, sorrow, and pain. Day, the irradiance of life, light, the spiritual idea of truth and love, and the evening and the morning with the first day, Genesis 1:5. The objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding, and mind measures time according to the good that is unfolded. This unfolding is God's day, and there shall be no night there. Time is a mortal thought, the divisor of which is the solar year. Eternity is God's measurement of soul-filled years. Take heart, dear sufferer, for this reality of being will surely appear sometime and in some way. There will be no more pain, and all tears will be wiped away. When you read this, remember Jesus' words, "The kingdom of God is within you." This spiritual consciousness is therefore a present possibility. The numerals of infinity, called 7 days, can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. These days will appear as mortality disappears, and they will reveal eternity, newness of life, in which all sense of error forever disappears, and thought accepts the divine, infinite calculus.